on, everybody, and welcome to the Student Leadership Podcast. We are so excited to have you guys join in with us for another episode. We're really pumped about this one. We got all five boys in the studio here. Everybody's here. Everybody sign in.
Hey, Caleb, check.
Good, it's working. We're live.
No one else said their name.
Check.
That's not sign in.
Aaron.
Check.
Read the roster. We'll make sure everybody's here.
Oh my gosh, Colin, grow up. We're a little chippy today, but we're still excited. We're going to call this episode Prepping for Your Future. So here's what we were thinking. We got five strapping men here in this room, and we were thinking about doing an episode centered around what steps you, the listener, can take to best prepare for your future. Something that I think all of us would agree on, whether you're here in the room or you're just listening. Life has a tendency to just go fast, and then you blink and a couple months have passed and you're like, oh, I haven't really worked on the things that I wanted to.
And then all of a sudden you get ready to graduate high school and you're like, what am I doing now?
What's going on? Some books I've heard refer to it as the whirlwind of life. You can kind of just get swept up in that, and you have a lot of good dreams and ambitions, maybe on your birthday or New Year's resolutions. But if you're not intentional, you can kind of get swept up in the chaos of life.
Well, and let me say this too, Jordan. I read an article recently that suggested that from the time a student graduates high school, the first 5 years out of high school, right, post-graduation, that 5 year period of time is the time in one's life where they make some of the biggest, most consequential decisions of their entire life.
Yes.
Career decisions, furthering education decisions, mate decisions, right? Moving out away from your family decisions. There's some really big things that can happen there. So preparing for that, it's big time.
So something I heard, I'm going to get the stat wrong, but you can look it up, and students, I think I'll be close enough. I think they said that it was 90% of people die believing what they believe at the age of, I think it was 22 or 23. So what you believe at 22, 23, most people just tend to kind of carry those beliefs.
You're locked at that point.
Yeah, those are huge. Wow. I mean, yeah, that's inspiring for me. It's doing college ministry. So here's what we kind of asked every person that's on the pod to do. We said, come with one thing that you can kind of share that you think would be good advice for someone who is best practices for preparing for your future, because we know school puts pressure on you to prepare academically, right? SAT practice courses and blah, blah, blah. And we know your sports teams want you to prepare athletically for your future in the in season and then off season. But we are going to be your spiritual coaches, and we want to give you spiritual advice to help prepare you for that next step. So, we're just going to go around and have a little discussion on preparing for your future. Anyone want to share their thing? All right, Caleb.
I want to go first. I think it fits with my point really well, actually, which is jump first and build your wings on the way down.
Oh,
ooh, mysterious, like a title and stuff. This is crazy. I prepared or something. I'm a youth pastor, and I talk to a lot of students. I think for me as well, I tended to be really afraid of the future, like just terrified of making the wrong decision. And that led me to a place sometimes of just like paralysis, like just being paralyzed of like, I'm just not going to do anything, because it's better to not do something wrong than it is to try and do something wrong. Like I'd rather not fail than try and also fail.
Was this in high school?
This was in high school for sure. And I think I eventually grew out of this, and I think learning to go for it, to take the leap, to jump, to try, to do, that's the only way you're going to really learn more about yourself and the future. I think, again, the paralysis can leave us, I'm just going to sit and wait. And once I'm ready, then I'll know. Then it's like time for me to go. But really, it's like you're not going to learn about yourself or learn about who God has created you to be and your giftings and your calling and purpose until you just go out there and try and do.
Yeah.
And I actually look at the disciples, like right after Jesus leaves, like, Jesus says, all right, now go. And they like just instantly start going. And at one point, it's in Acts 4, I think, where the leaders of this temple are looking at Peter and they're like, this is an uneducated, not special man.
Just an ordinary
great story.
Yeah. And so it's like, he doesn't know anything. Like, he's just like, by faith, just going for it. Like just going for it.
Got no education, no PhD, no credentials to stand in front of the Sanhedrin. That's the story you're talking about.
Yeah. And Jesus like just left. Yeah. And they're like, all right, let's go for it. And I love and respect that. And I think that's actually so good for us when we're talking about our future of just stepping out and trying. Because either you're going to discover what God has gifted you to do, or you'll find out, nope, that isn't what he's gifted me to do. And that's not a bad thing.
Both of those are great things.
Both of those are great things because either way, you're just gaining intel about what God has called you to do.
Yeah. Yes.
Either way, you're taking steps forward. So jump first and then build your wings on the way down. Some people say also like, you know, build the plane as you're flying it. Like you'll figure it out. Just get out there and do. Don't just wait back, stay back and stay paralyzed, but get out there.
Spiritual, send it.
Yeah, exactly.
Just rip it.
You used the word paralysis. It reminded me when I was youth pastor and having this exact conversation with students. I heard this phrase somewhere, but it was don't get stuck in the paralysis of analysis, right? Ooh. Which we do. Oh, we do that. Let's be honest. Had. We can do that in any season of life.
You know what I mean?
But students especially, you get stuck. You're overanalyzing everything, every decision, every step, and then you get paralyzed as a result and you do nothing at all. And so I remember I used to say to students, it's really hard to steer a parked car.
Yes.
Ooh. Right. Like you gotta be moving at some point. And then, you know, the same is true when it comes to like the Holy Spirit guiding our life. Like you gotta take some steps, you gotta move, you gotta jump first. And then that gives the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to step in and provide some direction.
This can look like, I remember I wanted to start a Bible study and I'm like graphic designing a logo for a post so I can, it's like, oh, but then
gotta
I
be got perfect.
Yeah. And it's like, and I'm like, oh, does Thursday work for you? Oh shoot. It doesn't work for this guy. But then, and I like spent like a month just like not picking a date and hard launching it because like it wasn't perfect. I was just like, and eventually it was like, wait, who cares? Like just do it. And if four people show up, great.
Right.
And if you don't have a graphics or the title of your podcast or whatever, there is something to be said for like, just go. But I do think the thing that you have to risk or wager is like, you do have to be okay with maybe looking a little underprepared, and maybe I guess the biggest fear would be like looking dumb or silly, because like you have to say, all right, getting this going is more important than like it being perfect.
Yeah. I think if you wait to do something until you feel like you're going to do a really, really good job at it, or wait to make something until you think that it's going to be really, really good, you're never going to do it.
Yeah.
Right. And if it's something that God told you to do, then that's actually disobedience. Right. For you to say, oh, I'm not going to do it because I'm just going to wait until like till I'm better at music, then I'll make the song or till I'm better at writing, then I'll write that journal or that book that I feel like God wants me to write. If you're waiting for that moment, then what you're actually doing is it's just delayed obedience.
Yeah.
You're just saying, all right, God, I'll do what you told me to do. I'll do what you put on my heart, but I'm going to do it on my time, not on your time.
Right. Yes. Or my terms, like, and the terms are I have to look awesome.
Yeah.
You know, right. It's like, I'll do it in my way,
and you can prove text this in another place in New Testament too, where like Jesus is walking on water, Matthew 14, and Peter says, oh, I want to do that. And Jesus says, come. And it's one word. And sometimes that's all we get from God is just one word, one direction. Mm-hmm. Peter didn't get a tutorial. He didn't get any guarantees of what the outcome
was
going to be.
Physics is actually going to work
There's no like YouTube link, like here's how to walk on water, do all these things first to prepare yourself for these moments. So there are times in life where the voice of the Holy Spirit just gives us one simple direction and he wants us to take that leap.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So can I give some practical things for students to do? Because I think that's what I really needed. I think if you're like, I don't know what I want to do with my life, I don't even know where to start. Like, join a serve team. Join an internship.
Yes.
Join something of anything that you have been thinking about possibly. And I know that sounds like the most vague sounding sentence, but just get out there and do something. I think part of the reason I understood my calling into youth ministry was because I just joined an internship right after high school where I started serving in the youth ministry and was like, I felt an inkling before that. And I had some people pray some things over me, but I wasn't fully sure. And then being in that internship throughout that year was like, oh, wait, this is exactly it.
Yes.
This is exactly what God's calling me to.
And with a career mindset, a wasted internship that doesn't lead to a job, well, that's a waste of time. But in the kingdom, it's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like it's okay if you're not going to be in full-time children's ministry. You can still serve in the children's ministry. Like
yeah.
The analysis of like, is this the perfect fit? And is this leader the best? And I do agree. They're, okay, calculate, make some informed decisions, but we would much rather you be doing something when we meet you than nothing. And yeah. I think God will use that. And like I would never do children's ministry. No way. But I actually feel like I found my calling serving in the children's ministry. Like yeah. I was like, I like ministry and I like talking about God and I have fun on, like there were so many things I learned, even though, yeah, bro, I'm not a children's pastor. We love you, Colin, but
I should just leave right now.
No, nothing wrong with them. That's just not my thing. Speaking of Colin, what was your advice for prepping for your future? What would you give to students?
Okay. So my advice is focus on your direction over your destination. And this has been like a life.
He got the alliteration going.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do anything that
Colin's used to doing like sermons for kids and they don't care about alliteration, but he's been storing this.
He's been in hibernation and it's just been waiting there.
Oh,
gosh. No, this has been something.
Say it again because it left my mind.
So focus on already?
Yeah, I'm like that. Sorry.
All right. So it's focus on your direction, not your destination.
Good. I love it.
So this was something that I've had as just a life principle since I was in college. Where this came out of was I had like a homeless ministry that I would get people to come with me to New Jersey and help get people off the streets, give them food. And I'd have people that would be like, no, I don't want to do that. I feel called to be a missionary in Africa, not to help homeless people in New Jersey.
God,
I was like, are you kidding me?
How noble of you.
Honestly, I was like, man, I want to be like you. But it was something that I realized in college was everybody had this specific destination of mind of this is what my future needs to look like. You might have that of here's the type of house I want to live in. Here's the kind of money I want to be making. In regardless of whether or not it's really specific of like God called me to do this, which can also like mess you up sometimes of saying I'm called to do this, so I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is oftentimes God's direction looks completely opposite of the destination we're trying to get to.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes it feels opposite towards the destination he even gives us.
Yes.
So my specific advice is focus on the direction that God's taking you in. Mm-hmm. And that direction, I know it can sound like really vague, but it's made up of a number of things. Like the two that like stick out to me most are purpose and presence. Of purpose being the fact of regardless of whatever destination you're in, you're going to have the same purpose, a purpose of loving God and loving other people, a purpose of being able to serve other people around you. You can do that wherever you're at in any setting. And you're talking about like, your comments on like kids ministry. That's what I said for the longest time, because in my mind, I had an idea of what God was calling me to. And I thought I can't do that in kids ministry. So I would negate that and go that destination. I can't do anything in that.
Yeah.
And the reality is God can use you. And if you follow the direction he has for you, he'll take you to destinations far beyond where you would want to end up by yourself.
Yes.
But the other one is presence, of recognizing that when you're in God's direction and you're walking with him and going close to him, there's a difference. Because Caleb, I love what you were even talking about. And the other part of that, I feel like, is just if you're a student, you probably have at least 20 or 30 like adults that are all like, this is exactly what you should do with your life. Here's what I did with my life. And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm not you. Let me be my own person. It's so overwhelming with all those voices. It gets clearer whenever you're following God and you have his direction and his presence, and you're not walking in the opposite direction of him, but you're literally just holding on to his hand. And you've got his presence that you've invited in over and over again, so that you know when you're taking those steps that feel like they're even in the opposite direction of even your parents or anybody else, but you know what's honoring God, because you've brought his presence in, there's a different level of peace that you have.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I think this is actually really good, just for overall your perspective, because I think sometimes when the immediate destination changes and it's not what you were expecting, it can be like, did I get something wrong, or is there something wrong with me? So I had a moment. I went to the ministry school at Allison Park Church right after high school, and then I was about to go down to Texas for school there, and like a week before I was going to leave, I got a huge concussion, and they were like, it's a nine week recovery period, so you're not going to school.
Yeah. Wow.
So like, totally changed. And I was like, I'm not going to go to school in the middle of the year, so I'm just going to wait a year. And I worked at Starbucks at the 4:30 in the morning shift.
And you're like, what? This is not what you told me I was going to do.
I was so frustrated. Yeah. I was so frustrated.
And you got
everyone's
Starbucks order wrong, and you're like, it's okay, I had a concussion.
Yeah. I wasn't working at Starbucks.
Your name spelled wrong. Yeah.
But man, the immediate destination instantly changed, and I felt like it was so right what I was doing.
Yeah.
So it had me like, because I just didn't have the right perspective on, I think what you're talking about of like, it's more about the direction than just the destination. I was so focused on the destination that I struggled for many months just being like, God, what's going on? Feeling like a little bit frustrated, a little bit lost, a little bit abandoned. Like, had I been just tossed to the wayside, or did I do something to cause this? A lot of confusion. But man, what you said is so good. Is like, yeah, it's more about the direction, and God's doing things. And I look back on that moment now, and it's like, wow. I mean, I can go into, I don't want to go into my whole story, but man, I know what God was doing now, and I know why He was bringing me through certain things. Right. And it's like, whoa.
And it's such a, even in the Bible, the Old Testament, it annoys me is throughout so much of the narrative is get to the promised land of it's this destination thing. And we don't even realize the fact that God's intent wasn't just, let me get my people to one specific location. I want my people over the entire earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so whenever they got fixated on, I'm just getting to this one destination, what did God have to do except bring in other people to get them out to go to other places? Yeah. Like, it's a limiting mindset when you're just focused on the destination.
It's such an American cultural mindset, destination, arrival mentality. Mm-hmm. When I arrive, then... when I accomplish this, then when I get this job, this degree, this house, this relationship status, whatever, that's a very like American cultural mindset. I'll proof text it. You use the Old Testament. I'll use the New Testament, John 15, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus says, abide in me and then you'll produce much fruit. So that's choosing, the destination, of fruit in my life. I'm only going to get to that by the direction of let me get as close to Jesus as I possibly can. Mm-hmm. Right. So kind of a similar way of, you know, proof texting, like what you're saying there, like I almost have to like delay my thoughts on where the destination is and choose the focus of like my direction. And, you know, even when we think about like, American culture puts a high emphasis still on like get a degree, go major in something. But if you look at the stats of people's careers post college graduation, most people are averaging like six different careers post college right now. Right. So it's the data is really kind of breaking down this myth that you're going to, as a young adult or a recent high school graduate, choose your destination and then spend the rest of your life there. The data doesn't support that.
I mean, thinking about Colin's example from the Old Testament, God wasn't just into getting them to this location, but getting them to be the right people to get them there. Like, he was like, well, this generation has no faith in me, so only the ones with faith get to go. And like, he was working on making them become the right person. I think, to add to your point about Americanized, I think we can idolize the destination.
Oh,
I think we can become an idol.
Yeah.
Like I picture myself doing X and it's like, that's all I want. We almost might even accidentally bypass God, you know, like, I don't really need you anymore. Like, you gave me this word and now I'm gonna, you know, idolize. Like, to that point, those people likely were idolizing this idea of them as a missionary and missing the heart of like, you're a missionary to love on people and to love on people in pain and love and jump in a culture. It's like, you missed the point.
Right.
So I think we can idolize that destination and not realize, okay, that's the dream. That's the goal. What do you got for me now, God? What do you got for me now? Caleb, you had one that was practical and I thought was just so wise. Do you want to share your next steps preparing for your future?
I feel like we kind of hit on it a little bit, like in bits and pieces. If I were to first make it like a little larger and apply to more areas, it would just kind of be, I know Caleb's was like, jump into it and build your wings like on the way down. Mine would be just like pause, slow down, take a second to think. So they kind of like work together.
No, but they're both
ways.
Very valuable, and I know where you're going with
because
it.
Because think that there is this mentality, because, you know, you guys are kind of just talking about like American culture and all that thing, so all that stuff. I think there's this idea that, all right, the things that I'm doing right now in high school, there's this attitude of like, I know I'm not going to use this calculus like older. Why am I learning all this? I don't need to do this. When I get to college, then finally, I'll be doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing.
Which is not true, because you're gen eds.
What Colin was talking about, we're like focused on the direction, not the destination. We think, oh, I'm in college, I'm going to learn all the stuff that I need to know for the rest of my life. And then boom, I'm on this journey of I'm going to do exactly what God has placed in my way to do. But I think sometimes we put a little bit too much pressure on ourselves to know exactly what we're supposed to be doing as soon as we graduate high school. And because of that, sometimes we make decisions that actually end up hurting us and making life more difficult for us down the road. So if you feel like I need to go to college because this is what everybody is doing, but you're not exactly sure, like, oh, am I going into business? Am I going into ministry? Am I doing kids ministry or worship? Do I feel called to be a lead pastor one day? If you're going to a school and you're getting yourself $60,000, $80,000, $100,000 in debt for something that you're not actually even sure that you're going to use in the future, that feels like a very unwise decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, all four of you went to college. I didn't.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, don't go to college. It's worthless. Like,
well,
it's not exactly true.
I'll even say I chose my college based on scholarships. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There were schools I liked a lot more than the rinky dink one I went to.
I did. Yeah. I did too. I chose college, but I chose it based on scholarships, and I chose it based on the goal of trying to graduate debt free, which I didn't, but I mean,
and I pushed myself to graduate in 3 years, like, so I had less debt. Like
a couple $1,000 in debt, so I might as well have been debt free.
Yeah. We're basically you.
Yeah. Nice. But I would just say try and be smart about the options that you have. You don't necessarily need a 4-year degree.
Depending on what you want to do.
Yeah.
Right. I think you want to be a doctor or a lawyer. Get a degree.
We're praying.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if I think mine is specifically for people who like don't have a career path in mind or and are ministry minded or feel like God wants to use them in vocational ministry or volunteer ministry or part time or something like that. Right. I just feel like if you load yourself up with so much debt, or you're saying I'm going to do this for 4 years, even though I'm not exactly set on it.
Yeah.
I think maybe you're limiting how God can use you, and he might want to use you in a way that's a little bit more unique, right? Yes. Where if it's like, all right, I'm graduating and now these loan payments are going to hit, so I got to come up with $1,000 a month to pay this back.
Yeah.
Maybe you would have been able to, you know, do some sort of internship or volunteer at your church in a significant way, not just like on a Sunday morning, but because you have all these financial restrictions that you kind of put yourself on, now you're kind of limiting like almost the ways that God can use you.
For sure,
or
for sure.
The flexibility that you can have with your time, whether you want to pursue your education in a different way other than college, like going to a ministry school or a leadership college or taking online courses and stuff like that. Mine would just be wise with your finances and maybe talk to some mentors about that. You know, the Bible talks a lot about being a steward, and sometimes we think about like, oh, I can steward what I have. I can steward the money that I already have, the job that I have. But I think also it's about being a steward of the things that we don't have yet.
Yes.
Right? That's good. Like, that's really good.
So it's like, how am I, like, you're a student in high school. I have $500 saved up. That's amazing if you're a high schooler. I didn't have that.
Yeah, tough.
Right? But you can also be a steward by not signing your name away on an $80,000 loan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if you feel like college is the right thing for you, absolutely do it. If you feel like that's what God wants you to do, you need to go for it. You need to be obedient. But if everybody else is doing it and you're not sure that that is what God has for you, just pause for a moment. Like, you don't have to feel all that pressure to follow that
yes.
way.
And crunch the numbers, because it ain't Monopoly money.
Yeah.
Like, it's real.
Yeah, it's very real. Man, it all comes out of this pressure of, like, what Aaron was talking about, and very similar to Colin's thing of, like, I just need to get to college. And, like, there's a lot of pressure. When I talk to students, I know there's so much pressure from parents of, like, this is what you need to do. This is the successful career.
And from schools.
Oh, and from schools.
And so, man, here's what I'd say. Whether you're going to go into ministry or not, a gap year is not bad. Yeah. You can take a gap year. You can take a year to save up money and think about what you want to do, or go intern at something, like, or get around what you want to do and at least learn about it. Because then you might go, I don't freaking want to do that. Yes, it's like, great, perfect. Then you actually know, I'm not going to go spend $80,000 on something I would have found out I don't want to do. But a gap year or two, again, I took two gap years and I think it was amazing for me. One of those was forced upon me, but it was still really good for me to save up money. Yeah. Because I left college practically debt free as well.
Yes. Well, I want to say, you guys were laughing earlier, like, oh, they're so different. You know, like, Caleb's is jump, but mine is weight. But they're different points.
Yeah.
Like Caleb is saying jump. Well, you're both Caleb's. That's hilarious. Caleb Leek is saying jump, and once you've jumped, now you'll figure it out while you're on your way down. But you're saying before the jump, make sure this is where you want to jump. You know, you're sitting at the top going, is this the place you want to jump? Or do you want to go down this slide? Or maybe there's a ladder over here.
And I think you can make a little jumps before you make the real jump.
Yes.
So like, if college is like,
skip and then leave.
Yeah. If college is like this big thing, it's like, well, go take a little jump and figure out if you even like the career path.
Which is kind of what a gap year is. Let me take some time here. Let me explore this. Let me see. Okay. And let me do it without the massive consequence of, like, I've just accumulated tens of thousands of dollars of student loan debt, which is what you're saying.
Yes.
And I think like Caleb Holt, as your dad, like, I remember you making those decisions as like a 17, 18 year old, like, hey, I just want to be wise about my calling and wise about my gifting, not knowing, and you didn't know this, but none of us knew this, but not knowing that 2 years later, when you were 20, you were going to end up getting married. Right.
Bing,
and then a couple of years after that, because you had chosen to be wise with finances, you put yourself in a situation to buy a home, which is wild. When I think about like how old I was in my like mid-30s before we were ever in a financial situation that we could be like a homeowner. And, you know, you were able to do that as a young man. And I think that's kind of the advice that you're giving everybody now, is like, be a steward of what you not only have, but also what you don't have that God is going to bless you with in the future. Prepare yourself wisely.
I was really worried you were going to say you're just really disappointed of the decisions. I'm just kidding.
I was like,
when you made that decision, we were really disappointed.
I was like, oh no. Do this privately. No, that's great. Hey, that's part one, and we're going to hit you with the part two coming at you in just a week. I guess we'll drop it. So, Aaron, you still got to talk. I got to talk, and who knows what will happen after that. Hey, make sure you guys share this with a friend or throw this, John, on your story. We love 5-star reviews, so make sure you guys keep reviewing. Thank you for all of those of you that have done that. Students, we believe you're called to lead your generation. Do it with passion for Christ and love for others, and we'll see you on the next one. See you guys.